This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
O'clock hour on a Friday. From the text line, Nance fits golf a lot better than football, in my opinion. Totally agree.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, he just has that voice. Those soothing sexual sounds of Jim Nance when the Masters music is in the background, and then when they go to commercial, they play the Bruce Hornsby in the range. Oh, Valley Road, muck on.
Harbor Lights by Bruce Hornsby.
Good song.
Bar and Lawrence, too.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Hornsby, most underrated musician of all time.
You think so? That's a bold statement, Cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He did a lot of work with the Grateful Dead that people don't know about. Did a lot of work with the Eagles. Did a lot of work with Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown did a lot of work with the Eagles. Bruce Hornsby in the range. Mandolin Rain. Should have listened to that
great
yesterday.
Song, man. That's a banger right there.
Every Little Kiss. I don't know why I love Bruce Hornsby. Anybody named Bruce, pretty much. Not anybody named Bruce, but most musicians.
Who's your favorite Bruce of all time?
Come on.
Coslet?
Jenner.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I don't know if we call him Bruce anymore. This is Nate Taylor yesterday on Connor Embry. That kind of took storm on Twitter.
From the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore. You know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got markedly better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say, like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like, just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals. But I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess, at some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
So that's Nate Taylor, basically on what happened with why Connor Embry is not there. And I do feel that there are times when, you know, future Hall of Famers or guys that will go on and do bigger things kind of tell you what to do. You probably listen.
Yeah.
But there's also a role for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the role for the coach is what you all know it is. Like, that's the guy you go to. That's the person you talk to. That's, you know, I'm sure that when Frank Clark was on the team and he was talking to a up-and-coming Chris Jones, he told him a lot. But where does Chris Jones always give his credit to?
Tomba, too, though.
Tomba. Yeah, right? Like, those guys, right? Like, Tomba helped Joey Bosa. I remember the video clearly when it was, like, Tomba's last game, and at the end of the game, it's him and Bosa over there talking about different tactics. Mm-hmm. But I bet Joey Bosa doesn't go back and say, Tom Bali has taught me everything I need to know. It was probably coaches that got him there. And that's why it's important, because I get it. Like, people will go back and say, oh, well, the Chiefs coaching staff is full of nepotism. It's all these guys that Andy knows that he trusts, and it's family and stuff like that. So if Andy trusts him, then that must work out. That doesn't always happen.
Right.
Right. Like, you can't just bring in your best friend of your life and be like, hey, come do 4 hours of radio 5 days a week with me. It might be cool for like the first couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, man, we need more.
Right, exactly.
I need more.
Right.
This.
You need more out of you.
And, you know, like, I'd never worked with you before. I mean, maybe a couple of shows, and I think we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think that, you know, that's what you need, is you need that equal balance of players, but you need more balance and leadership in your coaching staff, because at the end of the day, those are the guys who report back to Andy more often than not, not the guy like DeAndre Hopkins or Travis Kelce, which I totally agree. They should be there. They should be vocal points. You should pass on your leadership. And then maybe one day they do end up being coaches because what they did was so well. But at right. the time, that's a microcosm of what the coach should be doing.
Well, here the coach needs to basically, in my opinion, it's like your teacher or whatever. Let's just use that as an example, because that's what coaches are. And I, for whatever reason, I was thinking about this last night. That guy Tom Moore finally retired down mm-hmm. in Tampa, like 95 years old, been around the NFL for like 70 years or something oh, yeah. like that, coaching. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, that guy's retiring and walking away. And when he goes away, like, what are people going to remember? And for whatever reason, I thought they're going to remember Tom Moore was a teacher, man. Like, that guy was a teacher to all of these students, all of these years in the NFL, and teaching them the offense and teaching and teaching and teaching. And in order to be a good coach, you have to be a good teacher. And that's your job, to be that teacher, to explain things, to put the game plan in place, to implement, you know, the game plan, the teacher. And then, like, you know, the offensive coordinators, like the vice principal, and then the, you know, the head coach is the principal. You got to carry out their vision, but you also have to work around and understand your class, your wide receivers, whoever it is in your room, and maybe you have to tailor your lesson plans differently because of the subject matter, or the subjects, I should say, that are in your class. And so you have to be able to adjust and adapt to the students that are out there. And so you need to lay in that game plan. You need to execute that game plan. You need to make sure these people are held accountable, put in position to be successful, all of that stuff. And then you need the veteran guys who'll go, all right, remember when Spectre told you to do that? We're not doing that. We're going to act like we're going to do that, but we're going to do it my way, and we're going to do it the right way, and I'm going to tell you how to do it because I've been around the block for 15 years, and I know how to go out in the NFL and catch a pass, and I'm going to show you what to do. I think you need both, okay? And I also think, and this is going to be a bad statement that I'm about to make, but I think it's easier to spot a bad coach than a good coach, because a good coach is just in the background. A year ago, nobody knew who Connor Embry was, right? They were winning. Nobody knew who this guy was. You start to not play good football, everybody knows who you are, and everybody starts to talk about you and wants you gone. And so I think it's just easier to spot a bad coach than it is to recognize good coaching, because good coaching, like everything, you're supposed to be good. You're supposed to do your job. But when the coaching is bad, man, it stands out. And it has stood out this year for those wide receivers who don't even know where the sideline is half the time. And that is coaching. That's like, that guy makes that mistake, you pull him in the room and you never make that mistake again. These big white things here, stay away.
I mean, there's literal drills that they do to know where the sideline's at.
Yeah.
I mean, this is rep. This is repetition.
Yeah, so the sloppiness is all on the coaching. And that's why Connor Embry had to go. And the 1,000-yard wide receiver thing, how many times have I told you now over the last couple of years, don't take anybody on your fantasy team. Nobody's going to get 1,000 yards. This guy will have 6. This guy will have 7. This guy will have 8. If you're doing all of that, it works. But you weren't doing any of that because the wide receiver was a vacuum wasteland this year.
I think that's
Chiefs.
Why it's important to get somebody that has that sort of drive to, like, maybe have the credibility to be that coach and know what they're doing. Like, I know it's easy to say the Shieldhouse thing where he's got Puka and Davante Adams, but he's still helping out and developing routes for the talent to be shown on the field. Like, you can have a guy with all world talent, but if he's not set up for success, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You can say, you know, well, yeah, Puka's going to be a top five receiver for the next 5 years. Davante Adams going to wear a gold jacket and, you know, Canton one day. It's obvious. Yeah, I get that. But, like, you know what Davante Adams does really well? He runs really good routes inside the 5 yard line. Look at Matthew Stafford's number, like 10 touchdowns from the 1 yard line, 18 inside the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Davante Adams is really super talented, but to have the routes being drawn up and to have the scheme to be able to do that, that's great. And Davante Adams can be a hell of a teacher to somebody that's like a Puka Nacua and say, hey, when I'm in this chip sort of situation, I'm always leaning this way and then I do this. But you're not going to be in those situations if the plays aren't drawn up or created from your coaches to put you in that field. So it's 1 and 2. but the one is more important than the second one.
I think also, too, you know, you mentioned the red zone stuff, and that got me thinking, because when was the last time this team was productive from a passing standpoint in the red zone?
Well, that's why this isn't just a this year issue.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is, and when Dusty said that, I'm like, oh, you're starting to see for multiple years they've had problems in the red zone. And I think part of the problem that they've had in the red zone is that they don't have the right personnel to be effective now in the red zone. Mitch talked about how the league has changed, and it's back to that Marty ball type of offenses now in the NFL. Even before the league has changed, it changed from a wide receiver standpoint. The Chiefs never had that big guy that could run back, you know, across the back end of, you know, line of the end zone and catch the ball and make a big time play over everybody else, like you see a lot of these teams do. The Chiefs need to kind of stop, you know, stereotyping their wide receiver as a 5'9 fast guy and look for guys that can go out there and make plays all over the field regardless of size. Because I do think they got into a, I guess you could say, like a little bit of a lull where it was like it's a carbon copy of every wide receiver, and they wanted every wide receiver to be the next Tyreek Hill, and they fell into that trap as well.
Good or bad for the game? We talked about Carson Beck being 23 years old. The average age for the Indiana Hoosier team is 23 years old. For perspective, the Green Bay Packers' average age this season is 25 years old. Signetti knows what he's doing. Grown man teams are the way of the future.
I don't disagree with that. You're more mature. You can handle things better, you know, when you're in your early 20s and you are in your teens. You've already adjusted to life on your own and being away.
Yeah,
they're adults. You're adults.
Yeah, they're not college kids.
They're not
anymore.
Kids.
That's
you're,
why they shouldn't be playing college.
Yeah. Now, is it good for college at 23 years old? I mean, I got to be honest, man. I left college like a month after I turned 22. I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Like I would have done it all over again. I love it. But you get to a certain stage where you're like, okay, I'm ready for that next chapter in my life. You're hanging out at a college campus like this Beck guy. Like, that's like somebody's dad rolling
it's
in.
It's weird.
Yeah. Don't you want to move on at that point in life? I don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. It doesn't matter. But I just look at it like, I know I was ready to move on at 22. I felt old at that point in time, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know exactly
definitely.
What you're talking about.
Definitely. Yeah. There's a weird vibe there. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to see new things. And also, like, it's against what this is about. This is about college-age kids getting better, developing, so they can go pro or move on with their lives.
Well, what it was about.
Yes. I guess you're right.
We'll dive back more into what Andy Reid had to say yesterday and what these last couple of days and the three moving forward are kind of like in life. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Rolling right along on a Friday, coming up at 9 o'clock, we will get into Sean Smith. Get his take on the playoffs. Get his take on what he wants to see happen from the Chiefs. Buckle up. That's all I can say. I want to bring up Indiana real quick. Do you think there is the most pressure tonight on Signetti?
I don't think Signetti has any pressure. I think it's on Dan Lanning.
I don't know if either of them have pressure. I'd say Signetti has more expectation.
Oh, see, I'm like, I feel like, and again, correct me if I'm wrong on this one. You guys would know better than me. But I look at Oregon as like that team that's been there, like the Marty, you know, can't get over the hump, right? That's kind of how I feel like Oregon. I think Indiana right now, you're the new kids on the block, man.
That's fair.
You're NKTOB, let's go. You got house money, you know? So I look at Oregon as like a Kansas in basketball or North Carolina in basketball. You're kind of that blue blood. You haven't won the big one. I think there's a lot of pressure on Oregon. That's kind of how I feel about this one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree from a program standpoint and an expectation standpoint. Yeah, Oregon has been there. They've been really good for a while now. Dan Lanning, though, hasn't necessarily been there for a long time. I think he's if anything, lifted them back up to glory. And now, in a couple years, I think that conversation will start with, all right, breakthrough. But this year, I think they'll probably give him a couple more years till that starts.
I feel like they've been around and he's been around forever.
Dan Lanning?
Yeah.
Oregon has been around. Lanning.
Oregon, yeah.
Yeah, but how long has Lanning been a part of it?
Who was the coach before Dan Lanning?
Cristobal?
Oh, he was at Oregon. That's right.
I believe Mario Cristobal was winning with Mariota and those boys.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Dan Lanning, played college football. William Jewell, he's a local guy.
That would be a hell of a national championship matchup if you have the old coach of Oregon facing. Yeah. I mean, that's drama right
Let's
there.
Let's go.
Oregon wins.
Dan Lanning's been at Oregon since 2022.
Oh, okay.
So not that long. He's overall 48-7. He's 3-1 in bowl games and 2-1 in the college football tournament.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Cignetti.
Okay.
Because I think what he's doing is good for Indiana. I think what Indiana's doing is great. But if they lose this game tonight, it'll be like, see, there you go. And then your national championship is what? Oregon versus Miami, right? Indiana would be considered what some people would say a Cinderella story, even though they're the best team, most disciplined team. They've got the quarterbacks probably going to go number one overall in the draft. They got Cignetti, who's the hot name right now. But if this all goes in flames tonight, the win against Alabama doesn't mean as much, and everyone will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be like, well, Indiana, you know, lost in the first round of the tournament last year at Notre Dame. This year they lost the second round. Again, Miami, Oregon, here we go. Classic franchise in college football. Cignetti was a good run. Can you do it again? Because all your guys are 27 years old. What kind of team are you going to bring back next year? You're still in the Big Ten, where you know Ohio State's not going to fall asleep. Michigan's not going to fall asleep. Oregon's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So I think if he wins this game, it's like, okay, at least you got to national championship. I think if he gets to national championship, then I think it's like, dude, you're now at house money. And I know that might seem unfair or a hot take, but what that university is, what it's been, getting close doesn't necessarily get you the accolades that maybe you are going after, if that makes any sort of sense.
Well, the accolades that they're going after is the dough, right? And Mark Cuban has funneled that program now, a big-time check. And did you see the comments from Joe Buck where I guess Joe Buck may have gone to Indiana? I didn't know if he did or not, but he was talking about he was going to donate to the Indiana's NIL, and then the Troy Aikman stuff convinced him not to donate to the NIL at Indiana. He's like, this is a waste of money. I don't understand why people are doing this, which is what I've been telling you from day one. You're writing these checks for what? It's throwing money away. And so Joe Buck's like, I'm out on that. He goes, there's enough farmers in Indiana that can foot the bill. He goes, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. He goes, there are enough farmers that are writing checks right now. I don't need to get involved in this, you know, and do all that. So I think Indiana may stay on top, but there always is that, you know, what if you lose this class and you don't get back? And so to go this far and to not win would really suck, man. Like, I sent you guys the link this morning from Todd Monken, who was on some podcast or show in Baltimore, their former offensive coordinator, and he goes, he still regrets not running the ball in the Chiefs playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And it still bothers him 2 years later to this day, right? Have you ever been so close to something and you've never gotten that close again? Have you ever had that happen in your life?
Yeah, my last relationship.
Okay.
I thought it was going to end in marriage, and boy, did it not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would hurt. I don't know.
And then, like, to get to that point and to be that close and to never get back there again. Ugh. I mean, I can't imagine what Todd Monken is going through. I'm on, because regrets are awful. You know, as Sinatra always said, regrets, I have a few, but then again, too few to mention. You can't hold on to those, because if you do, it's just going to ruin you for the rest of your life. But I've never been in a situation like that from a sports standpoint where you're this close. I was this close to a job in Chicago one time, and the guy goes, I'm going to fax you the contract tomorrow. 16, 17 years later, I'm still waiting for that contract. So, you know, like, puts me on the train and says, I'll fax you the contract tomorrow.
Ghosted you.
Ghosted me.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah. Not that I'm bitter about that.
But
like, when somebody says something like that to you,
of course,
be a man of your word. Okay. Mm-hmm. Be a man of your word. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, for me, that was a minor thing, right? I can't imagine being one of these coaches, knowing how hard it is to win and getting this close and then falling short. And then 5 years later, looking back and go, God, we're never going to get back.
Cause bringing up the Cignetti thing, you guys remember the Final Four in last year's college football playoff?
No,
exactly.
No,
exactly. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame. So again, like, yeah, it's cool. Like, but we all remember the title game, right? We remember what that did to old boy in Notre Dame. Put that guy on the map. Dude. And yet here we are again. Like, the story's fun, but you're in the semifinals. And again, like, I think that there's just more pressure on him because of where that organization has come from. Whereas, like, Oregon would be like, their fan base, like, well, we did it again. I'm sure we'll be all right next year.
You know what? being the West Coast and being the fact that they're stoned all the time, I'm sure the Oregon fan base would be a lot less forgiving than the Indiana fan base. Midwest farmers, you know, pissed off. Wait, what, all these years we're donating all this money from our corn?
Oregon fans up in the mountains smoking a joint.
Yeah,
hiking.
Oregon fans. Like, yeah, bro, we'll be back next year, man. I don't care. Hey, Mount Hood.
Somebody says Indiana wound up being like Clemson, good for 4 or 5 year stretch, and then fading into mediocrity.
Let me ask. Which coach do you like better?
Out of Lanning and Cignetti?
No, Cignetti or the guy at Clemson, Dabo Sweeney.
Cignetti.
But they're kind of similar, right? They're a little rough around the edges. Yeah. They're, you know, but and you have to have that, yeah, I think, to be a coach and an ego.
Cignetti doesn't really make it about him. It's more so like the media that makes it about him. Whereas like Dabo, whatever that guy's name is.
Dabo Sweeney. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I'll go with that.
He's got to be the face first. And then his team.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. I don't know if that's
no,
to be
I think
fair.
You're right.
Well, he blames other things too. Correct. Cignetti wouldn't blame other things.
And Cignetti's the kind of guy that's, you know, obviously cut from the Saban tree, which every single coach in the semifinals was.
Yeah.
Which was awesome to see just like him talk about the game last night and then tell him everybody who his, you know, influences were in coaching. And one of them, of course, Bill Belichick. Which I thought was interesting. But no, I think that when you look at the two coaches in Sweeney and Cignetti, there's completely polar opposites. Whereas like Cignetti's greatest quote is, "I win, Google me," because everyone's like, who the hell is this guy?
Right, yeah. And then he James Madison.
And then he lived up to it. Yep. And then he doubled down the very next year and was the best team the entire season and is the number one seed, knocked off Alabama. Now he's got a chance to knock off Oregon.
Beat Ohio State.
Correct. And so, like, I think if that were to happen, you know, you don't see Cignetti doing TikToks like, you know, Sweeney did.
Yeah.
I'm also just not a fan of Dabo Sweeney.
And that's why when you said, I don't know if you were reading the text line, that this has the makings of another 4 to 5 year run like Clemson did, I would disagree. And that's why I asked you about the two coaches, because I think Dabo Sweeney's a douche. I'm just being honest, right? Like, I think that guy is a self-centered douche. I look at Cignetti and I'm like, guy's intense. But man, he can coach a football team.
Hell yeah.
And when he listed all of those things that they were good at, those are all basic fundamental football things that he listed there. It wasn't, we're good at recruiting, we're great at NIL, we're good at this, we're good at the line of scrimmage, we're good at time of possession, we're good at not turning the ball over, we're good at making plays when they matter, we're good at getting off the field on defense, we're good at staying on the field on defense. Like, those are all basic football things.
He's a football coach.
He's a football coach, right? And so from the football side of things, Indiana will always be there. And as long as the Farmers, as Joe Buck said, are to continue to donate, and Mark Cuban's writing checks, that's got the staying power of any program in the United States of America right now.
$12 million check from Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that'll help.
A lot.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Bob. I think you're right, because you're right. Dabo is a handshaker. He's
Dabo
sweet
is
talker.
A
chode.
Yeah, yeah, he sucks. Yeah, yeah. Cignetti, like, I'll run through a brick wall for him no matter what.
Cignetti, to me, seems like, when it all boils down to it, Cignetti would go coach Johnson County Community College and be just fine because he's a football coach, right? He is it, but he also, I think, understands the other stuff that obviously goes along with it, the NIL. But you don't have to do much ass kissing if you're winning. That's the other thing.
Yep.
Like, if you continue to win, like, this is where Cignetti is great now, because he can focus and be football nerd 101 and do all that football stuff because they're winning. He doesn't have to go out and kiss the ass of the Farmers to get money, because when you're winning, people just write checks. You start losing, then you have to be the ass kisser and go out there and get the checks. And once that stops, then you get fired. We know how it goes. Mm-hmm. But I think Cignetti, as long as he can continue to do this football stuff and they're continuing to put a great product out there, mm-hmm. those people are going to continue to fund Indiana, because it's been 100 years since Indiana was relevant in football. And they're just so happy to have it relevant that they're going to do whatever it takes, and they'll let him handle the football side and they'll handle the money side.
It's been since the dawn of time that they've been relevant.
That's right. Yeah. They've never been relevant.
No.
Basketball school. Yeah.
They have the most losses in college football history.
Yeah.
And now they're going in for a chance.
Jeez.
That's why I think the pressure is there. It's not necessarily bad. Not all pressure is bad pressure. What would you know about pressure? Well, I have kissed a man. Ace Ventura, 1994. But I will say that's why I think that's there, is because it's like, can you do it? Can you get there? Because like last year they got into the playoffs and it was like, no pressure, dude. You got into the college football playoff. You're going into, you know, Notre Dame, tough place to play. They end up going playing for the national championship. You get a pass. Now you're the number one team. Now you're in the semifinals. Now can you get to the promised land? And if you can, then again, you go back to, now there's not any pressure. And then if he wins that title, the world is your oyster, mm-hmm. Cignetti, and you can do whatever you want, because every Division I is going to have you on their top one fantasy board. You'll have NFL coaches.
I think he just got a raise today.
And I wouldn't.
Really?
I just saw something like he's now making over $12 million a year. Maybe that's because of the Cuban money is going directly to Cignetti. But I saw, and you mentioned Cuban gave $12 million. I just saw Cignetti's now making $12 million a year, they think.
Because they gave him a big extension and raise last year. That's crazy.
No, he definitely got one again this year. I mean, you have to keep doing it. You just have to in this day and age. I mean, he's not bound to you. Nobody's bound to anybody in college sports, as we know. So you got to keep anteing up with these guys.
Somebody will say from the 816, why do you hate Dabo? Clemson was nothing before him. He's done a phenomenal job building a program. Yeah, and he will tell you exactly why it's the arrogance part. It's the, you know, I don't need Dabo Swinney to tell me what he's done at Clemson. I can see that with my own eyes.
One thing that I didn't like about him, and this is so petty, I hated his behavior during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely hated it. We were all inconvenienced during COVID, and he was acting like he shouldn't have been inconvenienced during COVID, and I didn't like that. And because of that, Dusty, that's why I really don't like Dabo Swinney. I didn't like his behavior when the rest of the world was trying to do everything that we were supposed to do, and he's got jets, he's flying all over, doing all that kind of stuff, acting like it didn't affect him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's a douche.
He could never do what Cignetti's doing right now. 0 5 stars, only 7 4 stars, and actually succeeding.
Yeah, no. There's not many coaches that could do.
No, of course not.
What Cignetti's doing.
Swinney was good because he convinced Trevor Lawrence to go to Clemson instead of Tennessee. Deshaun Watson to go to Clemson instead of everywhere else. Right. DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, these sorts of players to go to Clemson, not because he's.
And then what's he done since then?
Exactly.
And Clemson always was a fairly decent football program. You know, when I was growing up, you knew who Clemson was.
Yeah, it wasn't Indiana.
It wasn't Indiana. Come on. I mean, nothing was Indiana.
Right.
We have texters continuing to send us in things that they were so close to having and getting, but just didn't quite get in grasp. 913, I'm 38. Almost had a threesome when I was 18. Never had another chance since.
I love it.
That's all right, man.
Good threesome.
They'd have probably forgot you were in there.
18.
Andy Reid yesterday, or maybe not yesterday, but Andy Reid had this to say about what went wrong in 2025.
We had 10 or so games that were determined by, you know, 7 points or less, you know, one score. And so, and those were the 7 we won last year. Well, why? You got to go back and you look at penalties in crucial situations, turnover in crucial situations, you know, those things. You got to really evaluate those and the whys of that. Drop balls, long drives, including everybody, the end of game drives, that you could have either scored on or were scored on, or special teams put you in a position. You got to look at all those things. And so that's a part of the evaluation process.
Stop the tape. Okay, did you hear all of that, what they were not good at?
Yeah.
Here's Kurt Cignetti saying what his Indiana team is good at.
Line of scrimmage, run the ball, stop the run, affect the quarterback, protect the quarterback, turnover ratio. We're number one in the country. Explosive plays, runs plus 12, passes plus 15 on both sides. Critical situations, third, fourth down, red area, 2 minutes before the half, end of the game. And teams has to be a win. You know, every game, same stuff.
I should have named more.
That's Cignetti literally saying everything that Andy Reid said in a positive standpoint, where Andy Reid said everything in a negative standpoint. Isn't that unbelievable?
Insane. Yeah, we didn't do one of those things well this year. Not one.
And, I mean, Andy's going through it all. Yep. Like, penalties, turnovers, drop all Cignetti's. Like, dominate line of scrimmage, we don't commit turnovers, we don't commit penalties.
Protect the quarterback. Yeah,
exactly. Like, all that stuff that Andy Reid goes, we weren't so good at this. Cignetti's like, we're good at this. They're getting ready to play for potentially a national championship. Chiefs finish 6-11. It's basic football stuff. And that is coaching.
I'm just really interested because I always love to see how teams rebound, right? Like, it was interesting for me in 2015 to see how the Royals were going to come back after losing the World Series in dramatic fashion.
Yep.
Like, that could have just completely depleted that team, could have absolutely just gut-wrenched the team, and they came back the next year and damn near went wire to wire and won the entire thing. And I know the competitiveness inside that locker room at Kansas City, or for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know how much they hate losing because we've seen it firsthand, eyeballs in the locker room, seeing them just absolutely just devastated, and they don't like to talk. They're a completely different team when they lose. You lost an entire year of Patrick Mahomes' youth and a playoff run, and a year where everybody from local to national has said, this year's playoff system will be great because I can't honestly tell you with a gun to my head who is the best team and who will win it all. You have some people that think it could be Seattle and it could be the Broncos. You have some people that think it could be the Bills and it could be the Rams. You have people that think, well, Houston's defense is really good. Don't sleep on them. Literally is how the NFL playoff system is. And you'd have to think that if you look at Buffalo and why people will tell you, why is Buffalo the favorite? Why is it Josh Allen's time? Because he is the most experienced quarterback with the most experienced team in the AFC with playoff history. And you'd have to think that if the Chiefs had that chance and were a better product on the field this year, even if they were 10-6 and snuck in as a sixth seed, everyone would be like, I'll tell you what, that might be the most dangerous sixth seed in the history of the NFL playoffs. You'd say, or 10-6, you'd say, why? Mac would say, why is that? Why is that, Dusty? Because of the experience that they carry. And that's exactly what we're doing with Buffalo. And Buffalo fans have to think, hey, we're going to Jacksonville. Really? Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen. And when we've been told from Nate Taylor, this is a team sport. But you look at this and you'd say to yourself, if the Chiefs were in the playoffs and they were a decent team, not a 6-11 team, so again, say they're, hell, say they're 9-8 and sneak in. You'd say, well, that was the regular season. Mm-hmm. What did Mac play with that college athlete? I don't care about January. I don't care about March. We'd say, well, I don't care if they went 10-6 because you know what everybody is in the playoffs? 0-0. And you know what weighs heavier more than anything? Experience and what you've done in that experience. And the Chiefs would have that. And right now the Buffalo Bills have that. And that's why a lot of people, not me, I think Jacksonville wins on Saturday. Or is it Sunday? Either way, I think Jacksonville wins this weekend.
I think the first game Sunday.
Yeah, Jacksonville noon. Sunday. Let me ask you this. Say the Chiefs did get in and they were the 7th seed. They're going to New England this weekend. Who's the favorite?
New England.
Yeah, I don't know how like the season went.
Because the New England Patriots are a 3.5-point favorite over the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Chargers really have no playoff experience, no playoff history, no nothing. Right? Do you think the Chiefs would be favored?
Yes.
Is there a way to do a mythical line? Like, do some of the sports books do that just for our entertainment purposes only? Like, you can say, hey, what if the Chiefs were playing the Bills this weekend? What would the line be? Or not the Bills, but the Patriots this weekend. What would the line be?
Well, I know the Chiefs hosted the Chargers. Fair. It was at home, but they were a month ago with nothing to play for. Mahomes was still healthy. They were favored by 5.5 points.
That's right.
I mean, that was a month ago. I was at that game. 5.5 points. So, yeah, I think they'd be favored.
I think they would be, too.
Yeah. And I think part of the reason why your line is that way in New England is the hand of Justin Herbert. I think if he was fully healthy.
And the offensive line, yeah.
I think if he was fully healthy, even if the offensive line is what it is to this point.
Kudos to them, though, for overcoming all of those injuries this year.
For sure. For sure. And I think if Herbert was fully healthy, I think New England would be favored, but I think it'd be less than 3. I think it'd be like 1.5. Damn near a pick'em game. But I still think that if the Chiefs limped in this year at 9-8, somehow things went right, like we thought they might actually happen, or what some people might have thought, like, well, if this team loses and you beat them, and like they beat the Texans and the Colts failed off, and then you beat the Chargers that next week, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Chiefs are in 10-6. I still think New England would be a slight favorite.
Every road team but one is the favorite this weekend.
Yeah,
that just tells you how wide open these playoffs are.
Insane.
Right, the only home team that's favored are the Eagles over the 49ers. And I think when you look at that, which, by the way, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy at all, but they were putting down new grass in Levi's Stadium this week for the Super Bowl. There is a possibility that the 49ers do host the NFC Championship game.
You said the there's only one home favorite team?
Yeah.
No.
Right?
No. New England's favored.
Oh, yeah, New England. Yeah.
Philly's favored. And Philly. Jacksonville's favored. Those are the only ones.
Buffalo's favored by 1.5.
I have Jacksonville at -1.5.
Wow.
I got Buffalo at -1.5.
So we're just depends on what book you're looking at.
I'm looking at ESPN.com right now. They got Buffalo as a 1.5-point favorite.
Unreal.
Holy cow. So you're looking at Jacksonville.
And then this is another one that says Jacksonville is a 1.5 favorite.
Yeah. Then over on DraftKings, you've got
Jacksonville is 1.5.
Yep. And going to the other book, Bills 1.5. Cool. So it's just oscillating.
Wow.
Jags or Bills, it's almost a pick.
You know what that says? Stay away.
Wow, that's interesting.
Scary.
I mean, that's a big swing, though. That's a 3-point swing.
It's huge. No, you're right.
Wow. So, yeah, from my number, I got one home team. Yeah, and obviously, the Patriots.
And that's why they tell you, go to BetMGM, go to FanDuel, go to DraftKings, go to Underdog. Everybody's going to – it's where you find your comfortability in it.
Right, yeah.
I was pretty comfortable having football 5 days in a row.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My buddy Evan texted me. He goes, this is the sports you know what. And I'm like, oh, no, Evan, we're not going there. He goes, these next 5 days are just going to be awesome. And I'm like,
I know that I'm hard. Has anybody seen Binkley?
Yeah, right? Exactly. He goes, this is a sports you know what. And I'm like, okay. But he's right. I mean, the way it started yesterday was like, I don't even know if yesterday was like the appetizer. Is there something that comes before an appetizer, you know, before you get a meal, like maybe a pre-drink cocktail or something? Oh, because yeah. That's what that was yesterday.
They got
Maker's Mark right over there. But I think that's what that was yesterday. That was like your pre-drink, your pre-dinner cocktail. And now we've got the appetizer tonight. And then we've got, you know, the main course and the main course. And then we get to finish this thing off on Monday with a nice dessert, right? Like yesterday was a great start to these 5 days of football, man. And you saw an unbelievable game. I hate the term instant classic because anytime a game is close, everybody thinks everything should be an instant classic. The last couple of minutes were fantastic of that game. The first 50 were probably a little bit of a snooze fest. Not everything has to be an instant classic, but a great game last night. Mm. And that's just the beginning of where we are. I think we're just going to get better and better as the weekend goes along.
Yeah, you thought last night was good. Tonight's going to be good.
Yeah.
Because Oregon's defense is no slouch. I know we always think of Oregon as the 48, 49, 50 points a game. Their defense is good.
Yeah.
You saw how good they played against Texas Tech, who is known to have a great offense, a very good defense, and they shut that offense down.
A lot of defenses, man, are starting to rise to the top. You mentioned the Miami Hurricanes, right? Built on that defense
they had.
Yeah, right? I mean, defense wins championships. Offense is sexy and puts butts in the seats, but at the end of the day, so we go back to what the basketball player had said about, I don't care about January, I want to be good in March. Defense wins championships. I don't care how many points you put up. Stop the guys. That's where you make your money.
Are you saying the number one defensive team in the NFL has the best shot at winning the Super Bowl this year?
Who is the number one defensive team in the NFL?
It depends on who you ask. Dusty would say the Seahawks.
Well, I mean, from just points per game.
Let's look it up.
Yeah, who's giving up the fewest points per game?
Because it ain't Buffalo. If that's the case, it ain't Buffalo.
No, it ain't Buffalo.
Jacksonville's got a good defense. They turned over. Chicago has a terrible defense. Green Bay's defense is, I don't know, average. That's
average.
Micah
best.
Parsons it's, is gone, no, so that sucks. No. The Rams defense is really good.
It'd be Seattle and Houston, 17.2 and 17.4.
So what are the odds to have Seattle and Houston in the Super Bowl? Plus 2,200?
Hang on, I actually have that.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
give me 30 seconds. Talk amongst yourselves.
So last night, I had a huge debate.
Let me give you a topic. Coffee talk. Discuss.
I don't know when to cash out on apps.
Yes, we were talking about
last
the
last night.
Gear.
I had 22 to win 82. I had what is it?
And they were offering you what 50?
They were offering me 55 after Ole Miss had scored.
And you had the under, and
I had the under of 52.5, and I had Ole Miss plus 3, and they were offering me 55 on my 22, and I had 22 to win 82, and I said no.
It's so hard.
Text line, I need your help.
Should he have taken it?
Do you and when do you and what's your theory on cashing out? Because right now I don't know when, because I've never had the opportunity. I used to always just make my bets in Kansas and ride them out in Missouri. Now I have the opportunity to sit there and be like, all right, you bet 22. We'll give you 55 to get the hell out of here.
All right, I got it. What was the
Houston Seattle Super Bowl odds?
Seattle versus Houston.
Let's take a guess.
I think it'll be like plus 2,200.
Yeah, I was going to say 25.
I don't have that. I got 14-1. Plus 1,400.
So that'd be 1,400.
They're the fifth best odds.
I was gonna say, okay.
Number one is Bills-Rams?
No, number one is Seahawks-Denver at plus 750.
One seed. Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. Then you have the Rams versus Denver is the second best.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle versus New England.
Twice.
Seattle versus Buffalo.
Three times.
Seattle versus Houston.
Four times.
Yeah, I'm making some bets then. Because this is
Seattle versus Jacksonville.
I am making some bets.
Hawks fly together, yeah, man.
But there you go. I mean, you're talking about defense, right? And the odds will tell you Seattle is the best defensive team, you said, in football.
Mm-hmm.
And in the top five Super Bowl matchups based on odds, they're in four of them.
Max Pack. Coming up next, I'll make Mac even more angry with my take on who the most underappreciated player in the league is. I'll also give you player A, player B. You hate him, but I love him here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back at it on a Friday. Love all the responses. I love you all. Thank you for giving me a lot of advice because now I really don't know what to do. Dusty, not saying it's correct, but I use a 2.5 to 1 payout would get me to take the buyout, and I force myself to live by that every time. I do love a standard. Set yourself there. Don't ask questions. Never cash out, Dusty. Never. It's only beneficial to the books. Another person says, I've started to cash out when I'm up money. It's guaranteed money. Plus, Vegas wins for a reason. Over time, you'll always be up.
It may not be as much up as much, but you will still be up.
Well, and it's like I told Mac, right? It's like if I'm at the bar and I'm like, I don't know, man. She's probably like a 7. It's like, oh, wow. So you're normally dating 9s. You're going for 2 more points. It's like, I bet $22 to win 82. They offer me 55. And I'm like, eh, well, if they offer me 60, I'll cash out. Really, dude? $5? That's what's going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Greed, hate, envy, the gate will do. F the Greed game. Text. Don't let the game F you, dog. St. Lunatics.
What's the great text?
No, I said greed tax.
Oh,
the greed tax.
I thought you said great tax.
Oh, Grandpa!
One of the 7 deadly sins.
What'd you say over there, young we are, huh?
Hello, America.
Yeah, I mean, Anselmo better wear his hearing aids to the trap tonight. That's all I'm going to say, because I am not screaming. Anyway, you guys follow Message Board Geniuses on X,
so
Twitter?
Good.
It's good. Yeah, today's a good one. Already coming in on the OM Spirit Board mistake in hiring Pete Golding. Defense is garbage. Be prepared to live with it throughout the short tenure.
Jeez. Just wants 2 playoff games.
College sports fans are weird. They really are just weirdos. Who like message board cretins out there? Why is that for college sports? We don't really see that with the professional sports, you know, but college sports, they've got these message boards and these creatures go over there and they post some of the worst stuff. That's why Message Board Geniuses is a great follow.
Yes.
It is a fantastic follow. I can't wait for tonight. Like, say Indiana does lose. Do we get an Indiana fan posting for Cignetti's job, right?
Gosh.
We're going to have it's or even Oregon if they lose,
yeah,
there'll be a Duck fan that says Lanning needs to go. I've got my fingers crossed for that tonight.
Yeah, cuz if that PI is called or whatever, which I don't think it should have been on the last play, and then they actually get the touchdown the next play, that same guy on message board, "Oh, let's go. We love Pete. He's the future."
Yeah, let me ask you about that PI, right? We all saw it in the replay. He's grabbing his, you know, should have been a penalty. Sure looks like a penalty. But they said on the broadcast last night, which, by the way, whoever that referee analyst was, that did they find that guy like sitting at Cheers? Like, was that Norm Peterson? Because that guy was all over the place with his commentary. But he did say, he goes, look, at the end of games, we don't throw flags on the Hail Marys. Do you like that rule or not?
It's kind of the same thing, I think, for college basketball, where it might be ticky-tacky throughout the whole game. And then the final 8 seconds, it's the ISO point guard versus the one guy, and they go to the rim, and you're like, no call? And you're like, I don't want to mess the game. It's like, but the whole game you were, and then now it's like, I think that's the conundrum that we're in college sports or any sports in general.
Because they weren't calling anything before like the last 10 minutes of the game. And then the refs put on their pants and like, all right, we're going to take this over. And every play, the flags are flying. And then that last play, I'm like, yeah, probably should have been. But we've been so conditioned, and we've heard this before, that they just don't throw a penalty on the Hail Mary. It's too hard to really judge, you know, whether or not there's a penalty. That one you could clearly see. He was getting pulled down by the throw.
Mugging him. Yeah.
But I, as long as you're consistent with that rule, then I'm fine with it. You know, if that's the rule and you're never going to throw a penalty on a Hail Mary, unless it's something egregious, I'm okay with that. I really am. Mm-hmm. But if you start, like, this ref crew is going to be a little rogue and they're going to start calling this kind of stuff that we're told not to call, then we have the problem. As long as they're consistent, even if it's consistently bad, I'd rather have that than being all over the place.
No doubt. And I am probably very contradicting when it comes to this, because I am in team camp of, like, take the whistle out of your lips and let these kids develop what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, let the people that don't matter decide what was fair or not fair. Because it doesn't matter if Mac thinks it's right or wrong, or if I think it's right or wrong. What happened is it developed on the field, and that's what happened. However you want to take that. So we have this topic. Who is the most underappreciated player in the league in the NFL? You want to know my answer?
It's probably the same one that I have.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
This is player A that Sam Darnold's been with. 103 receptions, 1,533 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
This is player B with Sam Darnold. 119 catches, 1,793 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Do you want to guess who player A is?
Justin Jefferson.
Correct. Do you want to guess who player B is?
I am going to say Steve Largent.
JSN. Sam Darnold does have generational wide receivers.
Or do they have a generational quarterback?
Okay.
That's a little bit of a stretch. Yeah. But I think Sam Darnold is underappreciated in this world. Because if J.J. McCarthy is closer to Sam Darnold than Sam Darnold is closer to Patrick Mahomes, then Justin Jefferson's numbers should not have really suffered as much as they did this year. He had a bad year. Why? He's another quarterback to get in the ball.
That's right.
And JSN, by God, if he's not a top six pick in fantasy football next year, and Sam Darnold does what he's supposed to do, you throw to your guy that can make the play. And yes, those receivers are great, right? But those receivers have to have somebody throw them the ball, and Sam Darnold has done that. And one thing I will say is that Sam Darnold, yes, you can judge him on his career in Carolina. You can judge his career in the Jets. You can judge his career on last year's playoff game. But so far this year, he's had two big games at the end of the season, and he's won them both. And he's done so by sticking to what he's done to get to these points. So I think Sam Darnold is not a I don't think he is a top 10 quarterback. I am not saying that. But I do not think that he is a laughingstock of, hey, this guy just has two great receivers. Well, let's be honest. JSN didn't put these numbers up last year. JSN put these numbers up this year. Justin Jefferson put up those numbers last year. He did not put up these numbers this year. So I think there's a little bit of credit that should go to Sam Darnold and a little bit of underappreciated value that goes to Sam Darnold. Again, I'm not saying he's a top 10 quarterback, but I'm saying he's not a bottom feeder of a quarterback as well.
I think the numbers kind of do speak for themselves, though. I mean, you looked at what he did last year with Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota, Justin Jefferson. Then you switch teams, you switch coaches, you switch systems, you switch offenses, you switch languages, you switch players, and you're still doing it. That is a legitimate quarterback in this league, fellas. To go from the Minnesota offense, Kevin O'Connell, all of that noise, do really, really good, then go to Seattle, and you've got whoever their offensive coordinator is and JSN and all this new stuff that you got to learn as the new quarterback there, and you've got your team as the number one seed this year. I think it's logical to start talking about Sam Darnold as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL at this point in time. And you had said that you can't judge Carolina, or you can don't judge him by Carolina and the Jets, and that is fair, because look what happened when he got away from bad programs and got with good coaches and good players. He was able to go out there and take it to the next level, and then he leaves Minnesota and they have taken a major step back, and Seattle goes out and wins a division. Who's picking Seattle to win a division this year, right? I think everybody probably put the Rams will probably win it, or maybe the 49ers. Sam Darnold's got to start being in that conversation and getting some credit. Now, obviously, it's going to be based on what you do in the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason, boy, this is only his second postseason, you know? So he's a legit quarterback that we just don't want to say is a good quarterback because of the Jets and seeing ghosts and Carolina and all the preconceived notions we had. We want to make sure that we keep those preconceived notions. We don't want to say, oh, hey, he's playing some good football right now. Because I didn't like Sam Darnold, but I'm looking at him now. I'm like, there's probably about 27 teams that would take Sam Darnold.
Yeah, love Sam Darnold. Been on the train since Carolina.
No, that's fair.
He's a guy.
Yeah.
Thought he would have been better than Brock Purdy in San Francisco. I just don't think he's underrated anymore. I think pretty much everyone thinks he's good now.
Well, we're not saying he's underrated. Underappreciated.
Underappreciated. Yeah, okay. I guess
that's
fair.
Two different things.
It's definitely two different things. I do think he's underappreciated because he's Sam Darnold. I mean,
like, I would say Trevor Lawrence is underrated, whereas I would say Sam Darnold is underappreciated. Is
that
fair?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. But we'll see what Trevor Lawrence does in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a 27-point lead?
No.
That was
the guy he's playing again this year.
That's right.
He threw five interceptions in a playoff game and still won.
Still won it.
Brandon Staley and these guys couldn't win a game.
That's right.
He came to Arrowhead and gave the Chiefs a little scare.
That's right, he did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that playoff game against Jacksonville where we had to play with the backup.
Chad Henne.
Yeah.
And now he's got the grill.
He does.
You think Sean Smith would give me a grill?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll ask him on the other side because he joins us next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.